Let A be a linear transformation or a matrix. We should define the kernel space or null space as usual, as those vectors such that mapping those vectors to zero. And we also define the image and the range space as usual. We should not going to say too much about it because this is really standard. One way to characterize the image space is by looking at the columns of this matrix. In fact, the image space of a transformation A is the span of those column vectors. Of course, those column vectors are not necessarily going to be linearly independent, but that doesn't really matter. We also define the rank of a matrix as the dimension of the image space. In other words, the number of independent columns of a matrix or rows are defined as ranks. And so it doesn't really matter whether you look at rows and columns, so the rank doesn't change when you try and take a transpose or complex conjugate transpose. We call a matrix full row rank if it has if its rank is equal to the number of rows. Similarly, a matrix has full column rank if the rank is equal to the number of its columns. In a very special case, when a matrix is square and also it's full rank, full row rank, or full column rank, then we say it's non-singular. So in that case, the full row rank, full column rank really doesn't matter, so they are equivalent. We say a matrix is unitary if it's square. Okay, first of all, it actually has to be square. The square matrix such that U transpose U is a good identity. Now, if you get a matrix, let's say D, which is not square, but it has the properties that D transpose D is equal to identity. So it looks like D is coming from a part of the unitary matrix. And indeed, that's the case. What I'm saying is that there are always another matrix, which is called complement, D per, so that if you put them together, D transpose is a unitary matrix. And this is a very useful fact because we're going to use that later on. But this is quite standard, just like also an orthogonal completion.